And it's awesome to be out to God's house and to see what he's doing. We're having folks saved weekly and people baptized. We're encouraged by that. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke again. We're going to go back into our series, Luke chapter number 23. We're going to go back to the cross, heading toward Easter. And I'm excited about what I'm going to be preaching this morning. Well, I tell you what, it thrills my soul. Luke 23, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Go down to verse number 39, and I'll read down to verse 43. 39 through 43. The Bible said, "And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him," railed on Christ, "saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. And the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man have done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus," I like this, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." A lot is said about what you say when you get saved. I don't think it's near as much of what you say and the faith that you have in who you're calling on. I kind of like that. See, we put a big emphasis on experience and what we say, and a lot of people get doubts in their mind. Well, I don't know, did I say the right thing? Did I say the wrong thing? Did I do it the way the Baptists did it, or did it the way the Methodists did it, or did it the way this group did? No, 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 no. The fact is, did you trust Christ when you called? Amen. And that's good preaching. I'm about to, hallelujah. "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, I like this, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the word of God, that it's infallible, inerrant, not one mistake in it. Amen. And I'm glad I still preach out this book. And I pray today, if there's somebody here lost, undone, without Christ, that they'll get saved. Maybe a church member that has made some kind of profession but not really been saved. I pray they'll be saved this morning. And I thank you, Lord, for what you do. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen. We started a series last week, and we spoke about the most beautiful word in the Bible, and that is forgiven. Let me get the congregation to help me a little bit. If you're saved, would you do this out loud and to yourself and do a little rejoicing? Say this for me. I am forgiven. Hold it, man. Did that sound beautiful to you or not? Let's do it again. If you really forgive and really do it. I wish my legs were better. I'd just take off shouting and running. But Dave's back there said, doing this right here on me right now. Praise God. What a beautiful word. But today, on the second thought I want to give you, I don't want to preach on the most beautiful word. I want to preach on the most essential word, and that is salvation. By the way, you can get a lot of things wrong in life. You can marry the wrong person. and still get by. You can pick the wrong occupation and still make it in life. You can make mistakes along the way and still make it. But there's one mistake you cannot make. And there's one essential you must have. And that is the thing of salvation. And when he said, Lord, remember me, he was calling on God for salvation. Somebody say amen. Thank God for God who saves the moment you call. In this passage of scripture is one of the most beautiful, if I might say, examples of the grace of God. This man alongside Jesus was a criminal, was a thief, had nothing to do with spiritual things, was a man away from the law, sinned against the law, sinned against God's word, sinned against God. Yet, God showed him mercy. How many can raise your hand and thank God one day in your life when you were hopeless as you could be that God gave you mercy? And I'll give you this. This is good. You read the Bible. Maybe you'll find more of them than I did. There's only one deathbed conversion in all the Bible that I know of, Chad. You might be able to find another one. I don't know of another one. Might be one. But this is the most famous one. When I looked at that, this guy got saved breathing his last breath. Now, there's two truths I come from that, and I want to give them to you this morning. One is this. It's never too late for you to get saved. You may have got up in years, and your heart has got somewhat hardened. And all the time you've heard the gospel and the gospel been preached to you and your heart's got hardened. But can I tell you, it's not too late for you now. Amen. 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 But also there's a second truth. One ought not to just presume that you'll have a chance later on. Right. Yeah. Because 95% of the people that are saved before they're 18 years old. Only one person is saved over 75 years old out of every 750,000 people that are saved. How many believe that it's time to get saved now? Amen. Today is the day of salvation. God is calling today. Let me make a few more observations by way of introductions. My sermon actually is short, Chad. The introduction's going to take a while. This passage gives us a clear understanding about salvation, but also it rebukes false teaching about salvation. Somebody help me preach. Let me give you a few of them. First of all, this lesson rebukes the teaching that the universal church preaches about purgatory. There's no such thing. You're not going to die and go to an intermediate state and your family pay a priest to pray you out and his prayers and their payment get you out of purgatory. I want you to know that's a lie from the devil, and this passage proves it's a lie because he instantly went to paradise when he got saved. Somebody ought to help me preach. Amen. Amen. Secondly, this passage also rebukes the false teaching of work salvation. I want to say this to you. Even some of my Baptist brethren got this wrong, and I'm sad that they do this. They believe that some people got in on works. They believe Old Testament people got in on works. They're what I call is hyper dispensationalists. I want you to know the Bible said Abraham got saved by faith. I want you to know that David got saved by faith. Somebody ought to help me preach. Hey, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercies hath he saved us. Let me tell you something. This man rebukes that because he didn't have any time to do any works. Because that same day he was going to go into his eternity. Amen. Hey, this man didn't, you know, we have this crowd. Look at me. And some of you may be listening online. Don't turn me off. You need to hear this. Well, if my good works outweigh my bad works, I'll make it. Well, Wolf, you ain't got no chance to do no good works. I remember preaching here years ago. One of the saddest things, I still mourn over it because I wonder if that woman got saved or died lost. I was preaching, and there's a lady, came probably 10, 12 weeks in a row. Every time I said, if you know you're going to heaven, if you don't know you're going to heaven, raise your hand. Or if you die today and you know you're going to heaven, raise your hand. You know what she did, Lois? For 10, 12 weeks. Just shook her head at me. I thought, Jeff, what in the world? So I'll tell you what I done. I didn't want to embarrass her in church, so I just went to her house. I know some of you thinking, are you coming to my house? I just went to her house, knocked on the door, and she came to the door. I said, listen to me, I don't want to embarrass you, and that's the reason I'm coming to your house. But under God, I've been preaching, and for weeks, if you die today, you know you're going to heaven, and you shake your head. And she said, well, I shake my head because nobody can know. Because you got to, she said, you got to make sure your good works outweigh your bad works, and that's the only way you're going to get in. And then she joined another church over at Nitro, supposed to be an independent church. And I ain't going to tell you where it was, but some of you know it. And I said, what in the world are they bringing in this member? Somebody help me preach. By the way, this guy that teaches us that you can know you're saved and that you can know you, if you call on God, you can say you're saved. Somebody help me preach. I observed another thing. Church of Christ folks ain't going to like this morning. But he wasn't baptized. Was there, wasn't he? I want you to know something. We've had a lot of people baptized. If you go in that water, not saved, you're just going to go in a dry sinner and come out a wet hypocrite. Somebody help me preach. Am I preaching? He wasn't even baptized. Hey, by the way, he said, oh, man, you got to join the church. And by the way, you should. But I'll be honest with you, he never joined the church. Am I preaching? Man, I'm about ready to get after it here in a minute. I'll tell you a third thing this passage rebukes, and I'm still introducing. I told you I had a short sermon and a long introduction. It rebukes pride. I was reading after a guy that I like to read after, but he, when he gets on one certain subject, he's an idiot. You say you read after some idiots? I do. I won't say the guy's name, Chad Smallin, he knows who. He said that this guy on the cross was God's elect and the other one was the non-elect. I say to you, God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hey, what can you do with this verse? Who will have all men to be saved? It says God's will is for all men to be saved. What are you going to do with this verse? Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. I want to tell my Calvinist friends, you are in error, and in some case you're preaching heresy, and you need to get right with God and quit teaching that false stuff. It's prideful, it's arrogant, it's not right, and somebody needs to tell you the truth. Amen. 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 Man, I'm going to run a rabbit a second. Then, this is what bothers me about them Calvinists. It so happens that all their families are elect. Go figure it. Now, you're not, but they are. Go figure it. What heresy. Aren't you glad when he died for all? Aren't you glad when he died for both feet? Get away from your pride. He died for the whole world. I tell you, it's awful prideful to believe that belief. Then, also it's prideful to believe you can do something in your salvation. You can't do anything. Somebody help me preach. It's a rebuke of pride. But I want to tell you, it's also a testimony of God's sovereignty. Somebody say amen. He called that thief. He saved that thief. He justified that thief. He glorified that thief. Somebody help me preach. Aren't you glad that for a God, salvation is of the Lord. It's not of me. It is of him. He called me. He saved me. He justified me. He glorified me. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm sealed to the day of redemption. My heaven is my home. I can't go to hell because I'm sealed and saved and satisfied. Help me preach. I can't get off introduction. I may be a whole sermon on introduction. I got a whole lot more. It also rebukes universalism. Oh, yes. They were two thieves that were crucified. One went to heaven and the other went to hell. There is a crowd out there, especially in this modern day, this X generation. They teach that everybody's children of God. Now look at me. You're either a child of God by faith or a child of the devil by rejection. There's no such thing as universalism. God's not going to save everybody. I see some of these rebellious, ungodly athletes, you know, they get up and say, well, I think the man upstairs, they wouldn't even know who he is. He didn't come. Hey, listen, everybody's not going to heaven because some people reject God and go to hell. And we'll see that in a moment. Let me hurry on. By the way, it's also a rebuke of religion. I don't say this. I want to be real careful. There's a lot of religious people that have their name on church books will never make it to heaven. Because, see, both of these thieves were real close to Jesus. And you can be close to religion. You can be religious and come to church and feel good about it. But if you've never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you're on your way to hell. Amen. Can I say a few more things by way of introduction? I'll take 5 minutes or 10 on my points. I'm still deep in this. There's a lot of lessons. There's three men on that cross. There's a benefactor, a blasphemer, and a believer. There was a savior, a sinner, and a saint. One died for sin, one died to sin, and one died in their sin. Somebody help me preach. That's why the Bible said he was numbered among the transgressors. They was also not only three men, they were three crosses. On the middle cross was the anointed one. On one cross was acrimony, and on the other cross, acceptance. On one cross was blessing, and one cross blaspheming, and one cross belief. On one cross was Christ, on one cross was condemnation, and one cross was conversion. On one cross was deity, and one cross was damnation, and one cross was devotion. On one cross was glory, and on one cross was groaning, and on one cross was grace. On one cross was holiness, and on one cross was hell, and one cross was heaven. On one cross was pardon, and one cross was punishment, and one cross was paradise. On one cross was the Messiah, and the other cross was misery, and the other cross was majesty. On one cross was redemption, and one cross was rejection, and one cross was repentance. And I like to ask you, which side of the cross are you on? I got 10 minutes and I'll do the sermon. I never believed I didn't take me that long to introduce this sermon. But I want to give you three things that I observed from the cross. Glory to God. I'm about to preach myself out. You may have to come up and help me with the invitation chair. I want you to notice three things. Number one, I want you to notice Satan's or the serpent's attack. It's amazing. You know, nobody likes to be attacked. How many agree with me right there? And by the way, if you live godly, you're going to get attacked. Our Savior was an example of that. The two thieves. Now, I want y'all both to know this. A lot of people don't understand this. At one time in this narrative, both thieves were rebelling. And they said this: save yourself and save us. See, they tried to get him to shortcut the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no salvation without the cross. There's no way to heaven without the bridge the cross gives. Somebody help me preach. Amen. But I want to tell you, they tried to kill him just after he was born. He almost died in Gethsemane. And now they want him to fall short of his goal. How many can wave at me and thank God this morning that he didn't fall short? Attack after attack after attack, he made it. And by the way, you may be attacked as a Christian here today, but by the grace of God, you can make it, and you can live for God, and you can make it through. Somebody help me preach. God is worthy. Amen. Secondly, and I'm almost done, I see the sinner's appeal. I studied this. I want y'all to notice this. Please write this in your notes. You're going to like this. This will help you. First of all, he recognized the sinlessness of Christ. He said, this man done nothing amiss. Somebody help me preach. I want you to know something. Jesus never sinned because he couldn't, and he wouldn't sin because he couldn't. Somebody help me preach. Amen. He not only recognized the sinlessness of Christ, he recognized the sovereignty of Jesus. He called him Lord. By the way, you're going to get saved today, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hey, he is Lord. Amen. And then he recognized himself as a sinner. Hey, he said, hey, we suffer justly. I want you to look at me. You may be a good person, and I don't doubt that you are. You're here at church this morning. But being good is not going to get you to heaven. Amen. Amen. Being a member of the lodge, being a member of some group, may be noble things, but they will not get you to heaven. No matter how good you are, here's what the Bible says about your righteousness. It says filthy rags. You could kiss the door of heaven and go to hell. Then, thank God, he recognized him as Savior. He said, Lord, remember me. Here's what he said in essence: you're the only way I'm going to get out of this. You're the only way I'm going to heaven. And by the way, that goes along with the Bible. The Bible said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. Somebody help me preach. Lastly, and I'm done. Y'all all right? I feel about half cranked today. We see the serpent's attack, the sinner's appeal finally, and I'm done. I told you the sermon was short. The Savior's answer. Listen. I know some people are not like me. For the life of me, I can't remember all I said when I got saved. And if you remember everything you got saved, God bless you. I'm an old man. I can't remember past yesterday. I don't remember everything I said. But I do know you something. Somebody help me preach. I called on him that day. And he said, today, shalt thou be with me in paradise. He answered my prayer. It wasn't much of a prayer, but I tell you what he saw. He saw my faith. Let me give you three things and I'm done. Listen. Number one, this lesson teaches us salvation was instantaneous. Amen. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The moment he trusted Christ. Number two, he was ensured salvation. How many's glad for eternal life? Amen. How many's glad you're saved forever? He said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Here's what he's saying is, I'll save you right now. I'll ensure it forever. And it was an incomparable salvation. Because today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Woo! What a big word. Let me ask you and I'm done. Chad, you come up and help me a little bit here in a minute. Lois, you go ahead. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Which side of the cross are you on? Are you on the saved side or the lost side? How many right now would say, Preacher Smith, if I die today, I know I'm on the saved side of the cross and I'm a Christian. Raise your hand if you know it. Hold them high. If you don't know, don't raise them. God bless you. A lot of hands wasn't raised. How many right now say, Preacher Smith, I don't know for sure I'm saved. I'm a good person. I try not to do bad things, but I've never said to Christ. I want you to pray for me this morning. I need to be saved. Maybe you're a young person. Maybe you're an older person. It doesn't matter. The ground's level at the cross. How many right now just say, Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Slip up a hand. God bless that hand. Somebody else. Hurry. Preacher, if I die today, I wouldn't be in heaven. Raise it, raise it, raise it. I'm not sure. I see that hand back here on the right. God bless you. 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 Stand with me. Every head bowed. If you just now raise your hand, slip out right now. Slip out right now. You just raise your hand. Will you slip out right now and say, I want to be saved? Come on. You raise your hand. You want to be saved? Come on right now. Chad, take over.